everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Flashback Friday episode. I'm going to be playing for you an interview I did with cover artist Jen Broomhall at Phoenix Comic Con in 2017. This episode was previously released briefly after Phoenix Comic Con last year, and then I had some problems with the audio, it got corrupted. I was finally able to recover it and put it through some filters and everything. So the sound quality is not perfect, but I think it's good enough. And Jen and I sat down. First of all, she's an incredible artist and a super nice person. And the links to all her social media are in the show notes, so I encourage you to go and check out her work. But what we sat down and talked about was not necessarily anything that's time sensitive. So despite the fact this was at Phoenix Comic Con last year, there's still a lot of value in a lot of the things Jen says. And she just talks a little bit about her art journey, how she came to this career. And then we talk a little bit about kind of the trend for more female artists to be getting more recognition in the industry, and how much she enjoys seeing young artists come up, particularly female artists, and be inspired by her work and have the parents be supportive and everything. So it was a really great interview, and I just wanted to re-release it because it's not currently up on the old website. So putting it out here on Flashback Friday so that it will be up on LRM Online going forward. So thanks for listening as always, everybody, and I hope you enjoyed the interview. All right, this is Jace coming to you live from the floor of Phoenix Comic Con once again, here with an incredible comic artist, Jen Broomhall. Thanks Hello. For joining me, Jen.
Thank you.
Wanted to have you on the show. Love your work. And I kind of wanted to talk about the female perspective as an artist a little bit.
Okay.
But before we get started with that, for some of our listeners who maybe aren't familiar with your work, give us a quick intro, what you're currently working on, all that kind of stuff.
For those who aren't familiar with my work, sorry, I've only had one cup of coffee. I'm a cover illustrator predominantly. I'm known mostly for illustrating pinups, but I can draw men and monsters. There's things that I do like to draw as well. And I work for several independent companies like Aspen, Lady Death, Xenoscope, Valiant, IDW, and the like. And that's my job. I'm a penciler and inker.
Now, did you start in art early, like 3-4 years old, always wanted to draw in color?
Well, I'm not one of those artists who claims to always have been drawing since I've held a crayon, because that's pretty much everyone.
Right.
And I always enjoyed it. I drew a lot in high school, but I never took it seriously until, I guess you would consider me a late bloomer. I didn't go to art school, and when I wanted to get into comics, I was pregnant with my first child. So I basically got laid off from a job and figured I need to just do this because I'm not going to get another one. I'm going to have a baby. So I took the plunge.
So you took the plunge, and that must have been, especially coming in to it late, having no formal training, just like, I've got to buckle down and just learn how to do this, right?
Yep. Just breaking it all down, figuring it all out, drawing things that I hated drawing, and going from there. It was a lot of late nights, head desks, just forcing yourself out of your comfort zone.
And how did you, was there a network of people that you knew or started to reach out with or start to build to kind of get advice, like, what should I be doing, what's the best way, or was it just completely on your own?
There was a couple that I reached out to, like a longtime friend of mine who helped me get into comics, Mike DeBalfo. I met him online, actually giving him a critique on something that was really rough, and then I realized who it was, but he was so chill about it, he didn't mind. and then he ended up, you know, redlining some of my stuff every now and then, but not like an apprenticeship. It was more, I'm one of those, like, even in the office type of situation, like, if I can't figure something out, I will hit the help button to learn how to do it instead of asking someone else to do it for me or teach me. I'm very self-motivated in that sense, that I like to figure things out. It's more about the journey than trying to just get the answers right away.
So kind of when you made that decision, it wasn't just a decision to be an artist, it was a decision to be a comic artist. Like, I'm going to do art as a career, but it's going to be comic art.
And comics.
That's really cool.
How is it that it's such a, and I know this is changing a little bit, but such a male-dominated field? Was that anything that you thought about, like, oh, maybe this isn't?
Well, no, because, I mean, going into it, I really didn't even think about it that way until I was in it, and then people were like, oh, how do you feel? I'm like, why is everybody asking how I feel? Everyone's really concerned about my feelings. And I guess people thought that I was, like, having my arm twisted, having to draw these pinups, and I'm like, no, to me, this is beautiful, so I didn't have a problem with it. But again, I look at figures in human anatomy, not just female, but male and female, at differently than most people. Whereas someone sees a pinup, they immediately think sex. For me, I just see form, right, and trying to present that form in the best light that I consider beautiful. And that's both genders. And so to me, it's kind of a skewed perspective, as I don't quite see what other people are seeing. So it kind of confuses me a little bit, because I'm thinking more, I guess, like an artist, right, than as a general admirer of art. You know, it does get a little crazy, because sometimes, you know, in the beginning, guys really didn't know how to handle a chick who wasn't a booth babe behind the booth. And then, of course, you know, you get the constant questions. Did you draw this? I'm like, no, I don't know how this happened. Or, you know, my husband comes with me to all these shows, and they all, you know, for the majority of people, still mistake him as Genevieve, because he looks like a Genevieve.
Oh, definitely.
As the artist. And you take that with a grain of salt. You kind of like, okay, for the most part, traditionally, this has been a male-dominated film field. But in the long run, if you look at it, there are so many more women in comics than, right, you realize. And they are heavy hitters. It's not, you know, in the beginning, people will be like, oh, well, girls can't draw as good as guys. No, that's not true. Girls can draw as good as guys, equally as good as guys, and a lot of times better. So it's not the gender that makes the talent, it's the talent that makes the talent. You
right.
know, our genitalia
and
has
artwork,
nothing to do right. with our artwork.
Yeah, talent and hard work is going to beat out on any kind of genetic.
Yeah. Gender really has nothing to do with your art, other than maybe your preferences and what you like to draw.
Well, for me, I love it when I see a female artist create something so beautiful, because a lot of times, and it's almost a double standard, they can get away with a little more.
Uh-huh.
Whereas a guy draws something cheesecake, and they're like, oh, he's a perv, whatever. And it's like, it's like you said, it's about the form. It's about the softness, the beauty.
Totally get those double standards. When I was mentioning, when people mistake that my husband drew these, they oh, that pig. And then when I was like, no, I didn't, they're like, oh, you go, girl. So I do see that. And it's kind of like, you know, just it is what it is. Stop, like, assigning a stigma because it's a bandwagon to jump on.
Exactly.
You know, if you see something and it's beautiful, you love it. If you see something and you don't love it, shut your mouth and walk on.
Exactly.
You know, we don't need to comment on everything these days of a generation of our age of saying exactly what we feel and having to filter. You know, just keep it to yourself and buy what you do like, because then we will draw it because we want your money. You know, in the end, it's money. You know, there's art interpretation, but in we want money, because we want to pay the bills, buy baby clothes and stuff like that.
Well, let's change gears a little bit here. Were there any artists as you were starting out and working those long nights that you really were like, I'm totally inspired by this person, I love what they do, I want to get to that level?
Oh yeah. Like, I guess a lot of the fantasy stuff that I looked at was like Brian Frau, who designed like the Dark Crystal mm-hmm. character, all the Jim Henson puppets in the labyrinth and stuff. His work really spoke to me. I have a lot of influences. Like, I have a very large library because I collect art books of just pretties that I love to sit and collect and drool over. Now, as far as comic book influences, like Adam Hughes, Frank Cho, Mark Brooks, even, you know, Mike to Scott Campbell to Todd McFarlane.
So what you're saying is you kind of set your bar low?
No. These guys are amazing, but it's like I want to get to there. But at the same time, looking at these people, you can't sit there and be like, I want to be that person, because you never will be.
Right. You've got
and
to develop your own style.
It was just one of those where you have to admit to yourself, I will never draw like this person, because I don't have their hands or eyes. I'm not that person.
Right.
So this is how I draw an eyeball. It sucks right now. Let's make this better. And just draw it over and over and over again. Once you stop referencing and just kind of sit down and deal with your own you can develop it and improve it and make it better, and then you start seeing progress.
And that's a constant journey, right? You're always trying to improve.
Always. But, you know, I hate the note that some artists say and be like, oh, just take several different styles and Frankenstein them together. No, that never works. You end up looking like a knockoff of everybody.
Right.
It's just making peace with the fact that you're not good right now, but you will get better if you just do it over and over and over again. That dreaded word we hate to hear, practice.
Now, one last thing. I wonder, do you have younger females that come up that are want to be break into the industry that come to look to you for advice now that you've been in for a while?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That must be kind of inspiring and flattering, right?
It's cool because, you know, I see them and they're excited. I get these young girls who are like, I love to draw. I'm like, that's awesome. What do you like to draw? And we just talk back and forth. And then, of course, I have two daughters. So, you know, they're, I want to draw like you, Mommy. And then I'm like, okay, well, here's the basics. Now figure it out. You know? But it's just, I love kind of supporting. I'm not a hand-holding artist because I learn on my own. So I don't know how to teach without sounding like a jerk. It's like, here, you start this way and then you just do it. That's really, I can only do by showing it by example.
Right.
I can't explain, but I love motivating. And if I can help, you know, answer a few questions, and I just love seeing them with their, you know, happy, eager faces and, you know, and just enthusiasm to just keep going. And then just seeing the supportive parents. That's the biggest thing to me. It's like in the beginning of my career, I didn't see that many supportive parents.
Right.
And now more and more parents are all like, they can do this.
There's money to be
made. Not just that, but just nurturing that creativity. Yeah. I mean, even if you don't make a career in something creative, it will be there for you to just express yourself. It's very therapeutic and very nurturing to just have that outlet, something other than, you know, that's mind-numbing. It's something to just kind of vent all of your creativity into.
Instead of do your math homework.
This guy wants a refund.
Stop it. Jerk.
All right, well, you're getting kind of busy, so we'll wrap up here. If any of our listeners want to follow your work or take a look, where's the best place, social media, all that stuff?
Okay, I'm all over the interwebs. I am on Facebook. I've got an actual art page, not my personal page. So look up Art of Genevieve Brumall. I know it's a lot to have to spell, but sorry.
Well, I'll put all this in the show notes, too.
Okay, so good. But Art of Genevieve Brumall is my Facebook page. You can like it. There's a lot of stuff on there. I'm on Instagram. It's Jen's Broom Closet on Instagram is that handle. And then Jen Brumall Art on Twitter, and Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter are the ones that are the most active. I also have a website and a store, so any of those that you click on, you'll find me. If you want to talk shop, just don't flood me with like 1,000 images, and I'm more than happy to talk when I can, because again, like I said, I have two young children. My social media time is sporadic at best, because I'll be sitting there and then all of a sudden, mom! Oh, God. So, yeah.
Great. Well, thanks so much for taking the time.
No problem.
I will definitely put all the links to all the media stuff in the show notes. And if your listeners, if you're ever at a show where Jen is, I highly encourage you, come take a look at her art. Say hi. She's a really fun, loving, great, smiling person. I see you at shows all the time. You always have a big smile on your face. You look like you're having a good time.
So. We have fun. We have fun at these. Yes, definitely.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Yeah.